go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 12 of Between the Trenches. Today is a very special day because today we'll be introducing our very own Rob Marsiglio. Rob, you're a very good friend of mine, and I'm glad that you could be joining us to be our now full-time producer of the show. How does it feel, buddy?
You flatter me, Dwayne, but I do remember I'm playing you week one in fantasy, and you are an Eagles fan. Yes. Very exciting. Thank you guys for having me on. I hope that I can add something to this already very nice podcast you have going.
You already are, buddy. You already are. And as usual, I mean, some things change, but others stay the same. So you got your co-host here, Mitch Sanderson, and myself, Dwayne Turner. Mitch, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, buddy. We're almost, NFL's almost here. It's just days away.
Oh,
we can taste it.
Yeah.
And yeah, glad to have Rob on the show. This will be a lot of fun having a third set of eyes on this show.
Yep.
We got hit with some kind of big news this morning out of the NFL. ESPN had a report that the Patriots, kind of something we may have already known, the Patriots were accused, or Roger Goodell should have been accused of using the Deflategate as a makeup for Spygate, which happened about 8 years ago now, back in 2007, revealing that the Patriots and Bill Belichick videoed defensive signals and stole playbooks and did things from about 2001 to 2007 that were against the rules. They were originally given fined and taken, had a
first round
draft pick taken away from them, which is kind of light for what they were accused of doing, considering a little later on the Saints had a similar kind of team scandal and they had the book thrown at them.
Exactly.
So a lot of teams thinking this was a makeup call.
Well, I think it was an unnamed general manager or owner of a team who's the one who's making that claim. I think that's kind of how that report kind of came out, where whoever the reporter was it who broke it? Was it Schefter or somebody?
I think it might have been Bob Lay from outside the lines on ESPN.
So, yeah, that's where it kind of came out, where, you know, his source was some sort of high-ranked personnel of an NFL franchise who kind of leaked that information. So, I don't know.
At the end of the day, I think this is just confirming things that we already kind of maybe knew or thought happened. This is all old news. Like, Brady's the only guy on the team that was on the team at that point.
Right.
So I don't think too much of it. I don't think it's really going to affect. If anything, this is just kind of more damaging news for Roger Goodell, who's already had a pretty bad summer.
Something else that kind of came out about that story is the fact that he is now possibly considering, I guess, not having as much control.
Yeah, not being that judge, jury, executioner anymore.
Right.
Opening up. I think he's got to do that just to save his job anyways.
Exactly. I mean, he's saying that apparently it's because it's too time consuming. And while that might be the case, I think when you have so many L's, losses, attached to your name, especially in these high profile cases, it doesn't help.
No.
So obviously,
he's not very good at this.
Exactly. And it's funny because he's a lawyer, so you'd think he would have some sort of advantage, but no. It's not clearly not helping him, but you know what? You're right. I mean, it's kind of like almost a non-story just because we kind of had that idea of what was going on, and whether or not it's a makeup for Spygate, let's just move on from Deflategate, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to week one of the NFL season, the real reason that we're sitting here today.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some previews.
Some previews. We'll give you guys a couple of our picks of the week, so who we think is going to win, why they may win. And we're going to start off with, I think, one of the best games of the week. The Indianapolis Colts and the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. This will be kind of a revealing for both teams. The Colts getting new weapons, Frank Gore and Andre Johnson, while the Bills have Rex Ryan, Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy, Percy Harvin, a lot of new faces on the Buffalo offense. What do you think of this game to kick off our Sunday week one in the NFL?
No, you're right, man. I think this is a really fascinating game. I mean, you've got what is projected by most to be one of the best offenses, if not the best offense, in the Indianapolis Colts going against what I think could be easily the best defense in the NFL.
Top three for sure.
At least, or exactly. Captained by, like you said, Rex Ryan. Yeah, I guess some of the things I'm kind of looking out for is I want to see how Tyrod Taylor does. You know, he's finally got that starting role. I want to see how he performs. I mean, we mentioned it earlier. He has plenty of weapons. Percy Harvin, LeSean McCoy, who I believe they said now is leaning towards starting. So they'll definitely have him in the backfield. Yeah, I just want to see how Tyrod Taylor performs because I think that this is going to be a very close game.
It's going to be a really good match for both teams to kind of – both these guys want to make a playoff run. I think the Colts are looking more Super Bowl, where the Bills are looking at the division. This will be a good test for both teams to see where they are, test their strengths, you know, that talented Colts offense against a very good Bills defense.
Absolutely.
The Colts are right now favored by 2.5, by the Vegas odds. But I think it'll be – and I think that's probably pretty fair – I think for the Bills, offensively, Percy Harvin has to play a big role. They're going to have Sammy Watkins, who's big, their young stud at receiver. He's going to be locked up with the Colts Vontae Davis, who was all-pro corner last year. Okay. I think that's going to be a tough matchup for Watkins to get away from. So Harvin in the slot, they're going to key a lot on LeSean McCoy. Everybody kind of knows that. I think that's been the big knock on McCoy this year is that he's going to get a lot of eyes on him. But Rex has said he wants to give him the ball as much as he can take it. So, you know, Rex has been pretty conservative with his offensive game planning in the past. Don't turn it over. Let the defense do the work.
But mind you, we've talked about this. He hasn't had the quarterbacks required to expand that offense as well. So
I like Tyrod Taylor's ability to kind of protect the ball and stay mobile.
Right.
He makes plays, but not he doesn't bomb it out there when he doesn't have to.
Right.
So I think that'll work in Rex Ryan's favor.
So you would say Percy Harvin is your X factor?
Yeah, for the Bills to win that game, yeah, I would say. And I think for the Colts, they need to find – I think that tight end game is going to be strong. Mm. And I want to see what Andre Johnson and Frank Gore really – what are they going to – how big a role are they going to play in this offense at their ages, kind of advanced. But they both spoke so highly of Andrew Luck so far in camp. You know, he's the best for both those guys. He's the best quarterback they've ever played with.
Which, I mean, that sucks for both of them.
I mean, but he's a great quarterback,
too. Of course. No. That's no hit on Andrew Luck. That's just unfortunate for those two guys.
Yeah, Andre Johnson has had Matt Schaub for most of his career.
Exactly. And Frank Gore's had between
Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. who he had some success with the last few years, too. Gore's carries have been kind of taken away from him, not in a manner that he's been happy with, where you see Colin Kaepernick throw the ball like 20 times in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So he's going to be excited to have a bigger role. I've got the Colts winning this game.
Okay.
My score, 24-17. I think it'll be a close game. But 24-17, Colts win. Andrew Luck starts off 1-0. He started off 0-2 last year, and they ended up with a pretty good record. So how do you think they're going to do this Sunday in Buffalo?
Yeah, I have actually a very similar score. I have 21-17 for the Colts. I think, like I mentioned, I think that it's going to be the Buffalo offense and the Indianapolis defense that's really going to – which one of those two – can perform the best. I think that's what it's going to come down to, because we know what we're going to get from the Colts offense. We know what we're going to get from the Bills defense. So whichever one of those two can produce, and I think that Andrew Luck will find some way to maybe lead one of those four patented fourth quarter drives of his to get that touchdown to end up pulling out the victory for them.
All right, and we move on to two teams that are also going to have kind of a new look, the Bears and the Packers. Bears have an all-new coaching staff. Got a lot of new faces. Brandon Marshall's out the door. Packers are without, you know, famously now without Jordy Nelson for the year. Davante Adams and Randall Cobb will look to pick up some slack. The Packers are favored by 6.5 in this game on the road. I think, you know, that the Bears are going to put up a better fight than they have in the last couple years. Not to say that they're going to topple, they're going to get Aaron Rodgers' number, but I think John Fox and Vic Fangio, Adam Gase, the coordinators there, add a real legitimacy to that team. Mark Trestman really wasn't head coach material. I think that's pretty obvious now.
Okay.
So to have these guys all running in order, I think that'll be a big up for the Bears, but Green Bay still has a lot of weapons, and they still got the man in charge, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think that, obviously, this is going to be a completely different team than the one that we saw, the Chicago Bears, I mean. I think defense – you know what? I think I wasn't too I didn't speak too highly of their defense, but I think that we could see differences just because they were so bad last year. Yeah. So I could see definite improvements. Like you said, Vic Fangio comes in to help that defense. Fox is a defensive mind. So I think their defense will definitely help play a role. But my prediction is that Aaron Rodgers just pulls out, especially during the fourth quarter. I think that Green Bay offense, there's only so long you can suppress it. And even without Jordy Nelson, I think that they're still going to be able to produce at a high level. And in terms of the Chicago Bears offense, I think that the Green Bay, I was kind of high on them originally, but I think that the Green Bay defense is going to have to, they're going to have to rely
a bit in preseason.
That's my issue. And the run defense, I don't know if it's completely solved.
Last year they had that hole. They're getting gashed where B.J. Raji was out. B.J. Raji's back now.
Yeah.
Clay Matthews looks a little more comfortable in that middle linebacker spot, but you're absolutely right. They're still having trouble with that, and Matt Forte is no...
He's a guy who can expose that. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so you know what? I could see them putting up some points, but I guess in the end, for me anyway, score-wise, I have the Packers winning 31-17. Like I said, I just see Rodgers kind of pulling it out near the end and maybe scoring 2 touchdowns in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I've got a similar scoreboard of 30-20.
Okay.
I agree with you. I think more often that, you know, the Bears are probably scored one late as well. They seem to be that kind of fourth quarter. If it's, you know, 30-14, 30-13 in the fourth quarter, Jay Cutler's probably going to pop in a touchdown.
Why not?
You know, he likes those garbage time minutes.
Right.
So I think now we go to our third game, which is the, you know, by Vegas odds, the closest game of the week. The Houston Texans are only favored by 1 point at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I expect this one to be a low scorer.
Okay.
But one thing to keep in mind is that the Kansas City has just a couple days ago solidified their starting offensive line. They're going to take Eric Fisher, who they drafted first overall a few years ago, take him out of that left tackle spot and move Donald Stevenson, who's clawed and battled his way up to that starting role. And they're going to go up against their first week against the WCW. Watt, Clowney, Wilfork. It's going to be a mess in there. I think that'll be a huge matchup to watch. Is that outstanding defensive line playing against a kind of inexperienced Chiefs line that you know, doesn't have a lot of work together?
And they, you know what? I know we don't put a lot on preseason, but they kind of struggled during the preseason, that offensive line. Now, like
they
you said,
did.
maybe those moves helped them and helped solidify it, like you said, but I'm not convinced. So, to me, I really love that Texans defensive line. Their defense,
yeah,
I think, is going to be ferocious this year, and led by Watt. I think he could create some real havoc for Alex Smith. I'm interested to see how Jeremy Maclin performs. You know, his
absolutely
week one going against that Texans.
Match up against Jonathan Joseph.
I was just going to say, yeah, we'll probably match up against Joseph. So, that'll be a good thing for people to watch out for, see how those two compete. And Travis Kelce,
I want to see.
Do you think that maybe they use Brian Cushing to kind of shadow him, or you don't think he'll be able to cover him?
That'd be a good matchup to watch. I think Cushing's not a guy that traditionally turns his back and runs down the field with receivers a lot.
Okay,
but he, you know, that's a good spot. He is one of the most athletic linebackers in the league. I don't see you know, a safety really fitting well to cover him there.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
So, yeah, no, that could be a big matchup they'd expose, especially if they get down to the red zone.
Right.
The other guy, a receiver on the other end, is DeAndre Hopkins, who's made some outstanding catches in preseason and throughout his short NFL career. I'm excited to watch this guy play every time.
Right.
I think he's got a very similar Odell Beckham feel to him.
Okay.
Who
do you think Kansas City puts on him?
You know, that's a good matchup, too, because I don't think they put the rookie Marcus Peters on him because he's a rookie.
Right.
And Sean Smith is a corner that I really like. He's a big guy, but he, you know, he struggles with the speed a little bit. I think it's going to be tough for them to find that matchup. It's going to be probably a combination of players because Hopkins is going to get some double coverage this year with the kind of lack of receiver depth around him. Jalen Strong's really struggled in preseason.
Yeah.
Cecil Shorts has been another guy who's, you know, has been a decent pro in Jacksonville. But I think Hopkins is kind of the key to that offense there, especially with Arian Foster out of the lineup. They've got a good offensive line. But, you know, like I said, it's going to be a low score. I've got Texans winning 18-16
okay.
In a tight game.
Very close one.
I think Hoyer, I can see Hoyer leading a fourth quarter comeback. He was all over that in Cleveland with a lot less to work with.
Right.
So I think he'll come up big in his first start with the Texans.
Okay, so I've got a full touchdown game here. I've got the Texans defeating the Chiefs 20-13. I think similarly, I think that Hoyer just leads that last quarter drive. I could see it very close at the end, but I think it could be him to DeAndre Hopkins, something like that. But yeah, a close game until the very end. Hoyer leads them down there.
All right, and now we move on to another game. This is my, I'm going to call it right now, this is my upset of the week.
Okay.
This is the Carolina Panthers are favored by 3 at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I do not have any confidence in the Panthers offense this year with that offensive line they've got in Carolina is just it's full of holes.
Yeah.
Kelvin Benjamin going down couldn't have been worse. You know, I don't think a player other than Cam Newton mean more to that offense. You know, they're for Jacksonville, that plays right into their hands because they do not have a very strong secondary. Gus Bradley has coached up that front seven to make some plays. I think they're going to do well in the run game, especially against a weak offensive line. And they're going to be all over Cam. Sendarek Marks is kind of an unknown name, but he had 8.5 sacks from the defensive tackle spot last year, which is a lot harder to do. They've also signed Jared Audrick from the Miami Dolphins recently. I think they're going to get some pressure and get, if not sacks, but they're going to get some hits on Cam. And I like this young receiving core in Jacksonville with a young quarterback, Blake Bortles. That whole crew of Blake Bortles, Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, all those players going into their second year in the NFL, that's an interesting bond you have between quarterbacks and receivers. They've got a kind of a crowded backfield of T.J. Yeldon and Bernard Pierce. They like Denard Robinson. I think that the Jags, you know, it's not necessarily going to be the Jags being a really over, you know, strong team this year, but I don't like the Panthers, and I think that that matchup is going to be poor for them. And I've got the Jags winning that game 19-17 in a tight one. I think Bortles will have to come in late, and by the fourth quarter, I feel like Cam's going to be so banged up and he's going to be frustrated that he's going to have a tough time in those fourth quarter drives when Gus Bradley's bringing the heat. So that's my upset of the week. I'm not real confident as I'm saying it and saying the Jaguars as a big upset favorite, but this is two teams in rough shape, and I think the Jags have a little more going for them than the Panthers right now.
Okay, fair enough. You know what? I've got almost the same thing going. I mean, I think – well, I'm going to say it. I mean, I have the Jaguars winning as well.
Oh.
I have them – I mean, it's not my upset because – well, I mean, it is an upset, but I have another upset of the week that I'm going to use. But, yeah, I have them winning as well. I agree. I mean, that Panthers offensive line has been ravaged over the last couple years. And, I mean, if Cam doesn't have a proper protection up front, he's going to be in trouble. I mean, you mentioned he could be hurt. Jonathan Stewart, all the protections he's going to be lined up to have to do, he's a guy who's injury prone. Who knows if he'll even last.
Without his backup in D'Angelo
Williams that he's had for years, it's going to be tough. Greg Olsen. Kyle brought it up last time on our episode. He's going to see a lot of targets if Cam has time to throw the ball.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of double coverage as well.
I'm excited to see what Funges does, though. I want to see what they use. I mean, he's a rookie. I want to see how they decide to use him. What's going to keep Carolina in this game is going to be their defense, though.
Absolutely.
And I know you're excited about the Jacksonville offense. I am, too. I think that we're going to see a step forward for Bortles. But I think that Carolina Panthers defense is what's going to keep them very much in this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they score they score a touchdown or something just to add to that score. But my final score is 21-20 Jaguars. I have Josh Scobie lining up for a game-winning field goal to end that game.
That is an interesting. Hey, I like it, man. I think we're on the same page. You know, the Carolina Panthers are in for a rough year. Didn't get off to a good start with Kelvin Benjamin. So we move on now to the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns. Historically, probably one of the sadder matchups that we can have in a week. And you know, the Jets without their starting quarterback, Geno Smith, out for some hilarious reasons.
Not hilarious for him.
No, not for him. But but you know, the story's been out there for a while. His former teammate IKN Impali now, who's went on to the Bills and now have been cut from the Bills as well. knocked him out over $600. And now he's out for the first 6-8 weeks of the season.
Well, that was the prognosis after the surgery in preseason. So maybe we'll see him after the end of September or something.
If, you know, if Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't struggling. Take that job from him.
That's true, yeah.
And I think in a game like this is right up, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick's right down his lane. Because the Browns, how are the Browns going to move the ball in this game? Yeah. That's my biggest question is who's going to get the ball? How are they going to move it on this great Jets defense? They're not going to be able to pass. They don't have any, like, you know, their starting receivers are Brian Hartline, Dwayne Bowe. Those are, you know, for Darrelle Revis and Antonio Cromartie, that's an easy walk in the park, really. Yeah. I just don't see, you know, I don't think the Jets are done being the Jets. But, like, they're a Todd Bowles team now. If Todd Bowles can really put his stamp on his team, like a Bruce Arians type of team, these guys, you know, they won't turn the ball over and they'll let their defense do the work. I think Fitzpatrick's well suited to do that, but I just really it's going to be the Browns' offense and their lack of playmakers that I think makes the biggest difference in this one.
Here's the thing: I've got the Browns winning.
You do?
I have the Browns winning by a score of 17-13.
Is that your upset of the week?
No, I still have another one. Is that considered an upset? I don't know if that's if they're a 3-point
well,
dog or not.
I mean,
most
not,
likely
it's not a huge upset. This is week one, so wow, a lot of the spreads are pretty tight.
So my thing is, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the kind of guy I want to rely on, and I could see him maybe throwing up a couple picks to, you know, Joe Hayden and company. I think that defensive line. While they, you know what, preseason they've kind of struggled to stop the run, but I think that they will be a bit more aggressive. And just because it is Fitzpatrick, I could see that, you know, Pettine and the rest of that coaching staff, I could see them making it a priority to make Fitzpatrick as uncomfortable as possible. And there are times where he doesn't need to be uncomfortable to make mistakes. So if you're going to, on top of that, do that. So, I think that they're going to be able to. I know that the Jets have an incredible defensive line, which could hurt them if they have to try and run the ball. And even running the ball might be difficult just because they have Crowell, and I think Duke Johnson is still hurt.
Yeah,
so.
Duke Johnson's there. They trade Terrence West down to Tennessee.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I just don't trust Fitzpatrick enough to be able to lead them to a win against the Browns.
All right, I
think
I guess
that
it's
they're
just
gonna,
a battle. I don't trust McCown enough. And you know, I think you're right. Fitzpatrick's made some ugly throws in his career,
right?
But I like the system that they have him in. They're not going to ask him to make a ton of plays, and he's going to have guys Decker and Brandon Marshall. They add what they do is, you know, they're both big guys. Brandon Marshall is a guy that you can kind of throw the ball up to, and 50-50, he's going to come down with it. Maybe even better chances depending on who he's matched up against. So, you know, I think the plays are going to be there. They have Chris Ivory. I really like Chris Ivory. I think he's a hard runner.
Okay.
He's playing New Orleans, and I kind of regret that they let him go. So I my score for the Jets is going to be 27-10.
Wow.
And I think that the Jets defense scores or sets up, gets the ball down inside the 5-yard line at least once.
Okay. That wouldn't shock me, but I could see them giving it right back not too long after, so that's fine.
So is this our first disagreement? What's your score for the week?
Significant. I mean, I had 17-13, the Browns defeating
them. All
right,
our first disagreement of the season.
One.
That's a big one. Hey, that's why we talk this stuff out, and we don't talk about it before the show. All right, so now we go on to the defending NFC champions, not the Super Bowl champions, the Seattle Seahawks. They go down to St. Louis to open up their season as 4-point favorites against the Rams. The Rams may not have Todd Gurley or Trey Mason in their lineup to start the season. I think that's a smart way to go about it. Both those guys coming off injury. You know, this is a really talented Seattle Seahawks defense that's going to get after those backs. No need to start your career, especially if you're Todd Gurley,
no.
A 10th overall pick. No need
exactly.
to start your career half healthy. But the Seattle defense is no pushover, and I think this is going to be a kind of a grinded out game, but the Seahawks are going to fourth quarter pull away. I have a hard time seeing how the Rams are going to score many points without those running backs in the lineup. A new quarterback in Nick Foles, who you know lots about his struggles, especially against the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, they didn't do a whole lot to address the receiver position there. So I think this could be a tough fought game for the Rams, but I have a hard time seeing them win this one.
That's fair. Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying about them being unable to score points. My only thing is that I could see the same thing for Seattle. And I know that, you know, they have the weapons there. They've got the Jimmy Grahams. They've got the Marshawn Lynches. But I guess my issue is that St. Louis's defensive line is one of the best in football. And Seattle, these past 2 years, one of their, I guess, if you had to pick an Achilles heel, it would be their offensive line. And if Russell Wilson has to be running for his life, mind you, we've seen him make some incredible scrambles and create some magical plays out of it, but that's not going to happen all the time. And we've already seen St. Louis upset them in St. Louis last year.
That's true. Obviously, with Davis.
Exactly. And we obviously it took one of those weird plays on a punt return. Do you, you remember the one where they faked it to, what's it called?
Pettis?
No, it was the 8th overall pick a few
years. Tavon Austin?
Tavon Austin, that's right. Yeah. So Tavon Austin faked as if he was going to receive it, and they returned it on the other side, uncontested, essentially. But, yeah, I think that they have the capability of doing it. I think Jeff Fisher will find a way to coach them up and get them ready for that game, knowing that they've already beaten them and knowing that they're going to be this year. I think that this is the year that they're going to compete as hard as they can for a division, or at least to get into the playoffs. So I think we'll definitely see a competitive game, but I agree with you in the sense that Russell Wilson and company will pull it out at the end, but it's going to be a very close one. I have it 13-10 Seahawks. I could see maybe like a field goal.
I don't see quite a close game. I think that you know, the Rams offense is going to have some struggles, and I think they are going to have some turnovers that may lead to some points. I've got the Seahawks winning a lot bigger than that, 31-13.
Wow.
Okay. I think it's a close game, maybe a 13-10 score in the third quarter.
Okay.
But late in the game, that's when defenses really get tired. That's when Marshawn Lynch really comes to play. Yeah. I also think Tyler Lockett, the rookie out of Kansas State, is going to make some big plays in the return game and maybe in the passing game as well. He could be an X factor to look out for. Now we're going on to a game now. We've talked a lot about the Redskins of our past few shows. They've had a lot to talk about, and this is my lock of the week. This is my my survivor pick. If you play,
don't do that to Kyle.
if you play these survivor picks or the suicide league, whatever you want to call them, you got to pick every week. Pick a winner, and you can't pick the same team twice. So I'm throwing the Miami Dolphins in the. My pick this week.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of confidence in the Dolphins as a consistent group moving forward, but I do have confidence in them beating the Washington Redskins. Tannehill's been like a preseason kind of favorite.
Right.
Sue has come to Miami. I think that Sue Wake Vernon combination is really going to be a lot of issues for Kirk Cousins, who doesn't play well under pressure. And they've got Trent Williams there as one of arguably their best player. In Washington, and you know, he might be able to handle Wake, but there's a lot more than that on that Miami defense. They've got a lot of speed in the Miami second, or in their receiving core, I should say, and in their backfield, Lamar Miller and Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, you know, Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry's a big matchup nightmare. I don't see that Redskins secondary matching up very well. I have Miami winning big. I think Redskins end up scoring a couple in garbage time late in the game, but I have Miami winning 35-18 in that game. I don't think they're going to be slowed down too much.
Okay, so I guess I'm just off by a touchdown here, but I have, or I guess 8 points, but I have the Dolphins winning 27-17 over the Redskins. I agree. I think they could probably score maybe like a field goal and a touchdown or something late, but this game is never going to be in question, I don't think. I think you brought up Jarvis Landry. I think he could have a huge game. I just don't know what they're going to do on that in the middle of the field when he's catching those slant passes or just simple
seam routes. Yeah,
exactly. From Ryan Tannehill. It's not going to take an outstanding performance from Tannehill, but if he continues the success he's had over preseason, then yeah, I just see him using all those weapons. You mentioned them, the Kenny Stills, the Devontae
Cameron, the guy I forgot about, the tight end from Cleveland.
Exactly.
He'll be a big body in the red zone. I don't see, you know, the Redskins don't have many matchup guys. They have Brian Kerrigan, who's a pretty good rush linebacker.
Yeah, he's
They signed Terrence Knighton from the Broncos, but he's, by all accounts, put on a ton of weight.
But you know what? I could see them possibly holding that Miami rushing game. I wouldn't be surprised if
I'm not a big fan of Lamar Miller, what he's done so far in his career.
If anything, I had to pick anything, then I wouldn't be surprised if maybe that's one of the strengths the Redskins have. Maybe their rush defense won't be too bad this year. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, that's not something that Miami's going to need to beat them. So, yeah, 27-17 Dolphins.
Yeah, to move along, my New Orleans Saints are in Arizona to take on the Cardinals. Cardinals 2.5 favorites and 2.5 point favorites in that one. I think this is going to be a tough game for the Saints, especially without their top corner, Keenan Lewis. Brandon Browner is a guy. He's a matchup guy, a good matchup guy, but he has a very obvious Achilles heel in his speed. I don't think he's going to match up well against Floyd or Brown. Anytime he's against John Brown.
You just brought up Floyd. Do we know whether or not he's going to be playing in week one? Like that finger issue that he had.
I'm not sure. I don't know if we got the word. I think he's still kind of probable, so it may be a game-time decision on that one.
Sure, okay.
But even Larry Fitzgerald, you know, that might be a matchup. I don't know what Larry Fitzgerald's still got in the tank for speed.
He's got enough.
I don't see the Saints passing game matching up very well against Arizona. I think Drew Brees will still kind of find his way around and get some yards. He's a guy that's kind of had a depleting receiving core the last few years, and he still managed to throw for like 5,000 yards and keep the Saints passing offense as a top five unit. That'll definitely take a dip this year with the lack of receivers and the talent.
And it just seems that they're kind of just transitioning into more of a run style offense.
Absolutely. Right? So. And that doesn't really fit well to go against the Calais Campbell and the,
that defensive line. Yeah.
So I have the Cardinals winning that game 27-23. That's probably a little favorable to the Saints. I think they will score some points. I do have faith that Drew Brees, you know, can make something out of nothing. He's got Brandon Cooks, who I absolutely love. And he's got, you know, Mark Ingram looking to have another good year. So I have Cardinals 27-23.
Okay. So that's an interesting prediction there because, I'll just throw it out there. I have the Cardinals winning 21-14. Now, you brought up Brandon Cooks. I'm wondering who they put on him because do you put Patrick Peterson? Does the Honey Badger drop down to help?
I don't know. Honey Badger kind of plays a lot of free safety now.
Right.
I think it'll be a kind of a combination. It'll be interesting. That's a good question because I don't really know. I think Patrick Peterson could easily shut down Marquise Colston, but that's not the number one target in New Orleans. So it'll be tough for Peterson if that's the matchup, which I think it may end up being.
Okay, so you think they'll put him
I think they'll probably end up putting, you know, their best cover guy against the Saints' best target. Just, you know, they'll try not to overthink it too much.
Right. That's one of the matchups I'm very interested in because even though I have the Cardinals winning, I could see if they can find a way to exploit the Cardinals' inability to match up with Brandon Cooks. Drew Brees could take advantage of that all day.
Absolutely. I think he'll probably score at least one touchdown either off Brandon Cooks or off a big play from Cooks because he's a big play guy. His first NFL catch, I believe, was a 40-yarder.
Yeah. So, and something also I want to mention is that the Cardinals are notorious for being unable to cover tight ends. That's something that you got to have to look out for. So I could see – I know Jimmy Graham isn't there anymore. But
they like Ben – Drew Brees is a big fan of Ben Watson.
I expect him to have one or two touchdowns. Wouldn't be shocked.
He'll be a decent red zone threat.
So 21-14 Cardinals, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a lot closer.
Yeah, I think we go on now to another game, Lions Chargers. I think this is going to be a really tight game. This is out in San Diego. Yep. I have San Diego winning this game, 24-21, a real tight game. And I think that this was in Detroit. It may be the opposite. This is going to be. You know, the Chargers like to start their seasons off. Last year, they will start off with a loss there to Arizona, and then week two beat Seattle. So they're going to be ready to go. If Megatron is healthy, that's going to be a really tough matchup for the San Diego secondary. Jason Verrett has been looks to be their number one guy, but he's only a second year player.
Oh, is it him that they're not
Brandon
Flowers?
I don't know.
Flowers?
It'll be him or Flowers. I don't know if Flowers is a.
Okay, that's interesting.
It would be a big responsibility, whoever his job
regardless,
is.
Because the thing is, those are two talented cornerbacks, but they're undersized nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about 5'9", maybe 6 feet guys at best, and you're talking about having to guard a 6-foot, 200-something monster in Calvin Johnson. So, yeah, that's definitely going to be something that you have to look out for. But I could see San Diego, just like they've been doing ever since McCoy has come in, being dominating the time of possession. But I do have it. I do agree with you in the sense that this could be going to be a very, very close game. And because of that, I have the Chargers winning 20-17. I think that Philip Rivers is going to lead some sort of fourth quarter comeback or something like that, and you're going to see him. We're all going to be able to see the what is it called? The what is that tie he has? That famous
The bolo tie.
The bolo tie. We're going to be able to see that. We're going to see that winning smile again, because I think that he's going to be able to pull off the victory, because I think everybody knows already that I'm pretty high on the Chargers, and I think that this is going to be step one for them moving forward. So,
all right.
Yeah.
And we move forward now to the Ravens at the Denver Broncos. Broncos favored by 4.5 in that game. I think, you know, you were talking before the show that you're big on the Ravens this year. I think the Ravens offense is very limited right now, especially with, you know, Breshad Perriman's week one status in doubt. It's going to be a lot of Joe Flacco, a lot of Justin Forsett, and a lot of Steve Smith. The Denver defense has a lot of talent, especially on the pass rushing side. But there's going to be – I like the two matchups, the corner safety matchup – or the receiver corner matchups on both sides – yeah. Steve Smith matched up against Aqib Talib, two very feisty, physical guys.
They've gotten into it before.
Absolutely. And on the other side, Demaryius Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Yes.
Jimmy Smith, one of the few bigger corners who can actually play in the league, is a good matchup for Demaryius Thomas.
It's just going to be interesting to see him out there for the first time in a while, because remember, he lost a good portion of his season last year due to injury.
Yeah.
So just to see him out there again is going to be great.
A talented guy. I think time of possession will make up a big difference for the Broncos, especially with C.J. Anderson and Juwan Thompson. Late in the game, they're going to pound the ball well, and Peyton will probably score a touchdown or two on play action. I have the Broncos winning this one 28-14.
Okay.
I think it'll be, you know, I've said before, Peyton's a guy that's probably going to trail off as the season goes along. But for now, you know, it's week one. He'll be fresh as can be.
I think we're going to be seeing them in a lot of close games this year, and I think that's something that's going to bode well for them going into the playoffs. For me, I've got the Broncos being upset by the Ravens. This is my upset of the week. I have the Ravens winning 17-14. I know that you're not high on their offense, but look, Joe Flacco hasn't needed a lot of offensive weapons to be productive, and I think that if he gets 17 points like I've predicted, then I think that the defense is going to be able to do enough to shut down the rest of the Broncos.
They got a really talented defense there.
Their defensive line. I mean, we mentioned it before. They lose Haloti Ngata, but they've got guys there already ready to step in and produce at the highest level. So, yeah, I have them winning 17-14 for my upset of the week.
All right, so we're going to speed through the next couple picks here and get to some big games. So Bengals play at the Raiders this week. I've got the Bengals winning that game 23-14. I think it's an interesting matchup. There will be who's going to match up against Amari Cooper. Drake Kirkpatrick's not quite fast enough. Pac-Man Jones kind of struggles with the solid route runners. Amari Cooper is very good at both of those. So that's my my kind of matchup for that. For that game, I think Bengals start off the season 1-0. Big year for Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton, but they got a decent matchup against the Raiders to start their season.
Okay, well, I actually have the Bengals just narrowly getting through, 24-21. I think that Khalil Mack is going to cause a lot of problems this year, and I could see him abusing this Cincinnati, which is a decent Cincinnati offensive line, but I could see him abusing it. So, and I could see Derek Carr and Amari Cooper putting on a show early, but I just see that, you know, Andy Dalton does enough to be able to get them through. And like you said, it's a big year for them, him and Marvin Lewis, and they're going to get a win, but it's going to be off to a rocky start. So 24-21 Bengals.
All right, now on to the Monday Nighters. Your Philadelphia Eagles travel to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. I think there's two big questions in this. Can Sam Bradford be as good as he was in preseason? And how much is Dan Quinn going to help that Falcons defense that was so bad last year? A big kind of another one-on-one matchup I'm going to keep an eye on is Julio Jones versus Byron Maxwell.
I'm telling you already that Julio Jones will win.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest reason there, well, I don't have to say Byron Maxwell is a bad corner,
but Byron Maxwell
has been playing under Dan Quinn in Seattle for the last couple of years. Dan Quinn knows all his little secrets, and Julio Jones is flying around out there.
An elite wide receiver.
And absolutely elite. You're totally right. I have the Eagles winning this one 38-27. I think Julio's going to have a big game, but it's not going to be enough to stop that Eagles offense and Chip Kelly's system.
Okay. Yeah. People are going to say this is kind of biased, but I guess it does. I mean, I'm high on the Eagles defense, but so this might not – that doesn't help that case. I have the Falcons scoring 30, but I have the Eagles scoring 42. So that's where the bias comes
in. I think it'll be a fun one to watch.
It's going to be a very high-scoring game. Gruden and Tariq. Oh, I guess no. It wouldn't be Gruden and Tariq.
No, it'll be Gruden and Tariq.
For that first game.
The second game is when Berman comes in and it's all question if he's ever seen a football game before.
Get ready for that. So, yeah. So 42-30 Eagles. You're right. Julio Jones is going to put out a lot of – he's going to toast Byron Maxwell. And, I mean, whether it's Eric Rowe, Walter Thurman, whoever else gets that secondary receiver or the second receiver, they'll win that matchup. And Matt Ryan, Sam Bradford, you're going to see a lot of points between those two, fantasy-wise, too. So, that yeah, if you want to fantasy alerts, look out for those guys.
And the late-nighter, the last game of the week one, is Minnesota and San Francisco. Out when the 49ers at home in that one. These are two teams kind of heading in different directions. The Niners have had a terrible offseason, like the worst offseason you could probably imagine. At least they didn't have any off the field off the field issues this year.
Yeah, they did.
At least Brady wasn't, their quarterback, I guess, for this offseason. I think they probably would, at the end of the day. And the Vikings have been trending upwards with Mike Zimmer being called for. You said he's going to be your coach of the year. A lot of people have the same opinion. They're getting Adrian Peterson back, who's going to be excited for that Monday night spotlight. I think the Niners defense has been depleted. I've got the Vikings winning this one 29-12.
Okay.
I think it's going to be just too much of a handful, not just Adrian Peterson, but then when you work Kyle Rudolph and Charles Johnson into the play action game, it's just going to be too much for that San Francisco crowd.
That's exactly what I was going to say. This is my lock of the week. I've got the Vikings defeating the 49ers by a score of 30-17. You're right, man. I think you're going to see a lot of Adrian Peterson early. This is a guy who's motivated to produce this year after missing all of last season. They're going to establish him early, and then you're going to see a lot of the accurate Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, didn't he have close to 80% completion percentage in preseason? I know, but still, that's impressive.
Absolutely.
So he's a guy who...
Several drops, too. Mike Wallace had a few drops in preseason, so...
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised, though. I mean, I don't know who... I can't remember the names of the secondary for San Francisco right now, but it's not what they had last year.
Last year, they're out everybody, pretty much.
Exactly.
Chris Culliver and Parrish Cox were their starting corners last year. Both those guys have left.
Exactly.
Tremaine Brock was another guy. He's gone as well.
That's the thing. So they're working in a whole new secondary.
Whole new set of linebackers, too. Navarro Bowman was injured last year.
Yeah.
So even he's kind of a new set.
Just because, he didn't play. Ahmad Brooks won't play.
This is going to be a very new set of faces. So we move on to our big three games of the week for you guys to watch at home. Keep an eye out for the first game is our very first game.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots. New England is actually favored by 7. They're the heaviest favorite of the week, which is crazy because
The case a week ago, right?
No, absolutely not. I think the return of Tom Brady paired with the lack of for the Steelers, the lack of Pouncey at center, Le'Veon Bell at running back, and Martavius Bryant at receiver will just be too much. It's just kind of seems like a perfect storm for New England. They finally get everybody back, and they're going to ride that wave. I know you're not big on that New England defense, but I think they still have a lot of playmakers in there. Not a corner where they've lost, but Chandler Jones, Rob Ninkovich, that linebacker trio of Jamie Collins, Jerod Mayo, and Dont'a Hightower, they're going to provide a really difficult run defense for sure. They're going to provide, I think, good pass defense against bad passing teams, but they're going to be tough group to run against. Which will, the Patriots have won with less on defense. I think with their pass, maybe they had more on offense at the time, but I think the Patriots are going to be in good shape. I have them winning this game, 31-24. I think Brady's going to slice and dice that young Steelers defense.
Okay, well. I have the Patriots winning as well. I wanted to find a way to pick the Steelers. I really did because I think that this is a very talented offensive team. I know that Le'Veon Bell and Martavius Bryant won't be playing, but I think for now, Dre Archer, D'Angelo Williams, they'll be able to fill that role adequately. And in terms of Martavius Bryant, I think Sammy Coates and Marcus Wheaton, I think that those are two guys that you could look out for. Because the thing is, I'm going to keep saying it, Fletcher is one of their cornerbacks in New England. That's a problem. So until we see, I mean, who knows, maybe Bill Belichick and company, they find a way to turn him into some sort of elite cornerback. I mean, I guess it wouldn't surprise me, but him paired with Malcolm Butler, that's something that I think that Big Ben will be able to exploit. So I'm interested to see how the new defensive coordinator in Pittsburgh fares now. I mean, there's no Troy Polamalu, there's no Brett Kiesel, no Ike Taylor, no Jason Worlds, none of those veteran presence guys in that locker room anymore. So now, not only is he a new guy, but now he doesn't have a lot of veterans except for, I guess, the defensive end. Everybody's Goodell's like favorite guy to find all the
time.
James
Harrison.
James Harrison. Sorry, I don't know why I forgot his name, but other than that, I guess that's probably the most veteran guy there. So. Defensively, anyway. So
yeah, no, that's a tough group. It's going to be a struggling year for the defense, but they're going to have a talented offense once they get everybody back that's injured and suspended.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be one of the best offenses in the league. But I'm actually kind of different. Like, I think that this is going to be a team that slowly makes their way and gets to be one of the better defenses in the league. Like, I really like Bud Dupree. Kind of struggled in the preseason, but
he's a rookie.
Shazier has looked incredible, and from Ohio State, I thought he was going to be incredible. He, you know, injuries kind of hampered him last year.
A guy I kind of like on their back end, too, is Shamarco Thomas, their young safety. Kind of a flying around. He'll make some mistakes, but he'll also make some big plays up there. And now we'll move on because we're kind of running out of time here.
Oh, sorry. Let me just give out a score.
Oh, so, of course.
28-24 Patriots.
20-20. And if you could see Dwayne's face on that, yeah, you would know. It's not too happy about making that – oh, wow. So, but a big storyline of the year is Jameis Winston versus Marcus Mariota. Not very often do two quarterbacks go 1-2 in the draft, and never do two quarterbacks start both their NFL careers against one another. In an even crazier twist, Winston's last meaningful game was a loss to Mariota. So this is I think the Titans are taking on the Bucs. That's one of the later afternoon games, one to keep your eye out for. You know, these two teams probably are not going to have the greatest seasons overall, but very exciting first start for both these guys. A chance, you know, not just because it's their first start because against one another, but they both have a chance to win this game. I think you mentioned before that the home team is going to have the advantage. I've got, an upset alert. The Bucs are favored by 3. I've got the Titans winning this game, 2016. I think Jameis is going to struggle behind that offensive line. And there's a couple guys, you know, Titans have acquired Brian Arakpo kind of quietly, who was healthy for the time being. They also have a very talented Jarrell Casey at defensive tackle.
Just going to mention, yeah.
I think that's going to be really tough. They got three rookies starting on the offensive line for the Bucs. I think it's going to be a tough matchup. And Mariota is, you know, kind of, he's looked very safe through camp. I think he's going to have a similar game where he's not going to maybe force the ball downfield, but his completion percentage will be high, and he'll try his best not to turn it over.
Okay, so, yeah, this is going to be a tough game for Jameis. I mentioned it before, that offensive line is a mess. He's already limping around after preseason games because of the lack of protection he's been receiving. I think that last year, this defensive group for the Tennessee Titans kind of struggled because they were transitioning into this 3-4. But I think this second year of it, we're gonna see the dividends play out, because I think that Jarrell Casey, you mentioned his name, he's such a talented player. Like, he's arguably their best defensive player. You could almost make a case for one of their best players overall. And I think that you're gonna definitely see him, you know, coming off the edge. Brian Arakpo, he's an outstanding player. His problem is just staying healthy. So you're right. I mean, if they can get at that offensive line and disrupt a lot of what Jameis has going, there's going to be problems. The only thing I would say, though, is that, you know, while the last game that he played against Mariota didn't go his way, he's the kind of guy who plays off of streaks. Like, he might have a terrible first half, but that the second half, he all of a sudden goes 26 of 28 for 200 yards and three. This is going to be a very close game. look, there's no doubt about it. These are two rookie quarterbacks trying to show who was more deserving of the number one overall pick. And in the end, I've got the Bucks winning because they're the home team, 17-13.
Another tight one. I think, yeah, it'll be a fun one to watch. Maybe not offensively a huge explosive game, but in terms of two quarterbacks, you know, in their first game, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And our sure. last game we've got on the schedule is the Sunday Nighter, a classic, one that's have been the opener several times. The Giants at the Cowboys. The Cowboys favored by 6 points. We were both kind
of. That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. Yeah, we thought this would be a close game. That's not how Vegas sees it.
It's not how Rob sees it, right?
Now, I mentioned before the game, or before the show, remember the last time Brandon Carr had to cover Odell Beckham Jr., and Rob brought up very, very kindly that
the Cowboys still won.
So, which is something I totally forgot about. I think the loss of Orlando Scandrick is going to be, you know, these are the types of games where it's going to be tough because he was the guy they had to play against those, those oversized number ones, but the fast kind of playmaking Odell Beckham types. I think that's going to be a huge role, but this is going to be an offensive game because the Giants are missing on defense too. They're missing quite a few pieces, but they've got a solid offense.
The Giants are a mess at safety. Nobody knows what you're going to get out of that defensive line, especially with JPP unable to play. He won't be playing week one. We won't see him out there. The linebacker core is never great.
I think one position they're kind of strong at is cornerback. Corner, yeah. And Prince Amukamara versus Dez Bryant, that'll be a fun matchup. I still expect to see 88 get in the end zone, but that'll be a fun matchup for sure.
You think that Amukamara gets Dez Bryant
over DRC?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. He's a better corner. I think as a one-on-one, they're gonna ask, Amukamara is a better one-on-one guy.
Okay.
And they're going to ask that from those corners because – they're so weak at safety. I think they're going to ask their safeties to do minimal. And Amukamara is more of a guy who can speed-wise keep up. He's a competitor, too. He's a guy – he's smaller, but he's a physical guy. I think he matches up well against Dez. But
I kind of disagree. Yeah, I got Rodgers. I think Rodgers Camardi is a better overall corner. I mean, he's inconsistent at times, but I think that at his best, he's probably better. So I think that they'll probably throw him out to compete against Dez.
There's a good chance you'll see both because I don't think either one of them is going to be able to actually cover them. So
I agree, though. I mean, this is going to be an offensive onslaught. I mentioned it earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if we see 80 points between the two teams. My final score is going to be 41-35 Cowboys.
Right.
Rob brought up the fact earlier that Eli Manning has one of the best records in AT&T Stadium because before the Cowboys, decided to stop playing mediocre football and and finish the seasons 8-8, he was coming in there and defeating them all the time. So I wouldn't. Who knows, man? I mean, I could see Eli putting up a great offensive game because I mean,
I expect a shootout. Expect a shootout. This was my toughest pick of the week in terms of a score. I have the Cowboys winning as well, 37-34. I think it'll be both teams kind of have the other team's number on defense or offensive on over defense.
I'm just trying to predict how this is going to end. Like, I could see, like, an Eli – I hate to say it, but
it's going to come down to, a last drive, and it's either going to be,
a surprising defensive stand or
– or it'll be, like, a Romo, one of his, like, classic Romo things, or it'll be – or it'll be, like, him finding Dez Bryant, or it'll be Eli. And both guys have similar ways of making just bonehead plays and then also making ridiculous, awesome plays. The difference is that Eli's got two Super Bowls. And Romo's got.
How many does Romo have, Rob?
How many playoff wins did he have, Rob?
Three playoff wins, I believe.
Okay, so you know what, Rob? We got a minute here. How do you see the game going?
It's hard to say as a Cowboys fan because you're always very doubtful. Like I said before, going into these games against divisional opponents, especially the much maligned New York Giants. But yeah, a Manning pick seems fitting to end it. And let's give that pick to Brandon Carr since everyone's been bashing him all show. And
hey man, I think Brandon Carr is a guy. I have to say he's not a guy that's ideal for every receiver, but he's kind of a matchup guy, similar to Brandon Browner, where he matches up well against those bigger, slower receivers like a Kelvin Benjamin kind of type. I think he does have a spot. He probably is a little overpaid,
I'd say a lot overpaid.
But I think he's an interesting, he's a unique player. Not a lot of corners of his size can play what he does. One thing I want to ask before we go.
Sure.
How many plays or how many quarters do you think Sean Lee is going to last this year?
Oh, Rob, I'll let you start this one off, buddy.
Sean Lee, if you're not unaware, Sean Lee always makes like a pick in the first quarter of the season and then gets hurt in the second quarter.
The stat is that he still has the most picks by a Cowboys linebacker going back to 2012, and he hasn't played two of those seasons.
Unbelievable.
How many quarters? Let's go 16 times four. He's going he's gonna go the distance, plus we'll add in the three to get to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I don't know. It's too early. I don't want to touch wood this early in the season.
I hear you, buddy. Yeah, no, I can't. I have no idea. It's hard to say. I mean, I
honestly, hope he's healthy because he's a fun guy to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I just hope I want him to be healthy. I just don't want him to perform well when he's playing the Eagles. Let's just say that, okay?
All right. Now, before we end it, I got to remind you guys that you can follow us on Twitter, at Between Trenches, like us on Facebook. If you have questions about fantasy, about the show, things you want to hear us talk about or get our opinions on, feel free to always let us know. We're more than happy to respond to any questions, any requests that you have.
All right, guys. Well, for our new producer, Rob Marsiglio, my good buddy Mitch Sanderson, and myself, Dwayne Turner, that's it for episode 12 of Between the Trenches, our preview episode for week one. And we'll see you guys next week to recap the same games we just previewed. Take care, guys.
Let me ask you a question. Who could possibly have it better than us?
Nobody!